Patience. Written by Helenish, read by Greedy Dancer. You could have been my slave, Eska says once, sighing as Marcus breaches him, careful as he always is, watchful eyes on Eska's face, one arm wrapped across his back, holding him steady. I was already that, Marcus says, leaning in and pressing a soft kiss against Eska's collarbone. Not like that, Eska says. I would have captured you in a raid. I don't see how that is possible, Marcus says, giving it due consideration. He shifts on his knees, pressing deeper in, and makes a soft noise of satisfaction when Eska's mouth folds open. I would have taken you in battle and brought you back to my dwelling. Oh, Marcus says. I see. He withdraws and lifts Eska so he can roll in at a deeper angle, still moving slowly. Eska closes his eyes at it, feeling Marcus's hands on his body, how wide he's stretched open, knowing that it isn't so easy for Marcus to hold his weight up on his leg without being able to brace his arms, that Marcus will move as slowly or quickly as Eska wills it, that he needs only to give a sign for Marcus to fuck him deep and hard. And would you have been a cruel master to me? Marcus says. Eska opens his eyes. No, he says. No. He grinds down, tightening his knees around Marcus's hips. His own cock is stiff, leaking against his stomach, and Marcus's eyes are flicking between his face and his cock, rapt. He's never said as much, but Eska would bet a yearling foal that Marcus was little more than a virgin before Eska came to his bed. There were, Eska thinks, a few hasty tumbles, a friendly hand as a boy, a whore or two between campaigns, but nothing in the wide-eyed way that Marcus looks at him when they're fucking, still, in the way that Marcus hastens to do his bidding, says to Eska that Marcus has ever been asked to bring anyone pleasure before. Not cruel, Eska says. He reaches up and touches Marcus's face, the fine cut of his jaw and the sweet softness of his lower lip, pink bruised from Eska's kisses earlier. Marcus won't allow Eska inside him, his arse or his mouth, and he let Eska suck him once before refusing to allow it again. They kiss, they rut against each other, tumbling over each other in the bed they share, the high grass next to their pasture land. Marcus asks for Eska's hand, and rubs his own hands down over the muscles of Eska's back and shoulders, sore after a day of plowing, and then turns him over and kisses his mouth, his throat, runs his mouth along Eska's chest, his tattoos, works his cock with his hand and asks Eska to come. Marcus will allow Eska to spend between his slickened thighs, blushing hotly when he offers, and Eska knows it takes much for him to give even that. And they fuck, this way, with Marcus inside Eska, although Marcus, swallowing, said he would not presume to ask for what he himself refused to give. Eska, that time, shoved Marcus down by the neck and rode him hard, spilled on his chest, and left Marcus to clean himself. Marcus sometimes gives him a hunted, guilty look over everything he's refused Eska in his bed, but Eska has made his peace. He has had many lovers, but few so eager to please him as Marcus, none whose kisses kindle such an echoing joy in his heart. He could take no pleasure from forcing Marcus into any act that shames him. Marcus does not have a word to say about the customs of Eska's childhood that have crept into their lives, the cup of milk left on the stoop after first milking, the cast-off rusty horseshoe Eska finds on a hunt and nails up on the barn door, refusing to sell it or melt it down, even though they could sorely use the money. Eska, Marcus says softly. You would have known your place, Eska says, coming back to himself, breathless. I would have shown you your place. Where? Marcus's voice is hoarse. Where's that? At my feet, Eska says. Marcus's fingers tighten on his arse, pulling him open. In my bed, Eska adds. Marcus is staring at him, wide-eyed, but he makes no move to stop Eska's mouth. You would have been bathed and stripped bare for me, and I would have shown you such pleasure, Eska says. I would have taken you until you were mewling and begging me for release. Marcus says nothing but his hips stutter, moving more quickly into Eska, setting a heavy rhythm, and his face is creased in effort. You would have shown me your submission and Eska says, and Marcus is pulling him further into his lap, penetrating him deeply, Eska's cock trapped between them, Marcus's arm tightening roughly around his waist, his mouth grazing Eska's cheek. "I would have given you," Eska says, and breaks off as Marcus reaches down to where the joint and runs his fingers softly over the tight stretch bounds of Eska's hole. "What?" Marcus says, urgently. Eska says nothing, hooking his legs around Marcus's waist and pressing close to him. "What would you?" Marcus asks again, voice breaking, and Eska says, "Everything, everything." Knowing that Marcus's leg can't support his weight like that for very long, but he's close, and Marcus's hands are huge on him, urging him towards completion. "I would have had you every way I could think of. Had your sweet mouth on my cock filled your arse so full you would be dripping with it." Marcus comes, shuddering, cock jerking heavily inside Eska. Marcus is stiff and silent after. He wipes himself down, standing by the ewer, and then brings Eska a fresh wet cloth. He's limping, and he has to brace his hand heavily against the bed to lower himself into a sitting position. Eska cleans himself, saying nothing. Marcus won't admit that his leg pains him, hates to be pestered over it when he pushes himself too far. "There are women in the village who would welcome your attentions," Marcus says slowly. He's facing away, shoulders hunched. "What?" Eska says. The language of Eska's youth comes slowly to his lips these days, supplanted by Roman words. He dreams in Latin, thinks in it, and still sometimes he can make little sense of the things that Marcus says to him. "I know well," Marcus says, hesitating. "I know well that I do not satisfy you as you have been accustomed." "You satisfy me," Eska says, pillowing his head languorously against his bent arm. He can barely feel his legs, he's so satisfied. "No," Marcus says dully. "There is much that I do not give to you. Don't pretend it isn't so." "Marcus," Eska says, "I'm sorry that I said those things to you. They were words only. They were foolishness, because you were inside me and I was not in my right mind." "Those words would not come to your lips without cause," Marcus begins, and Eska loses his temper and sits up and says, "Very well. So you propose that I go fuck one of those dozens of girls in the village who are so eager for me?" Marcus jerks his chin in a nod. "And you'll do what?" Eska says. "Will you take another lover?" "No," Marcus says, voice low. "Will you still come to me?" Eska says. "If you wish it," Marcus mutters. "You think I won't?" "Why would you?" Marcus says. Eska studies him, the tilt of his head, his hands, twisted into fists against his knees. "Only a fool or a boy would allow you to rot inside him. Is that what you mean?" Eska says, deliberately crude. Marcus flinches but nods slowly, his face guilty. "Do you think I am a fool then?" Eska says. "No," Marcus says. "Then I'm a boy," Eska says coldly. "You're kept boy?" "No," Marcus says. "Of course not. You're your own man. You have always been, even when..." He stops himself and then says carefully, "even before." "You could have fucked me when I was your slave, and you did not," Eska says. He had expected it from the first, from the way Marcus had looked at him, that Marcus waited only to recover the strength in his leg before ordering Eska to his bed, taking him without care. After a time, as he had come to know Marcus a little, he had understood that it wouldn't be so. Then he expected, perhaps, Marcus's fingers on the back of his neck, the order smoothed into a polite request for Eska's presence in his bed, Marcus inside him, gentle hands folded over his hips. It had not happened that way either. Marcus had not stopped looking at him, but the looks had never turned into anything more until Eska had willed it, until he had put his hand on Marcus's shoulder and asked for himself, half expecting Marcus to refuse him. Marcus had not. He nodded a decisive jerk of his chin, clutched at Eska and run his hands up under his tunic when Eska straddled his lap, so eager for him that when he'd risen afterwards to fetch a cup of water, Eska had seen that he still wore one sandal. "I wouldn't have forced you," Marcus says, shrugging uncomfortably. It was my lot to serve you, Eska says. I wouldn't have fought. Marcus's mouth pinches into a frown. You would have lain beneath me like a stone, an angry, spiteful stone, he says flatly. Forgive me for my lack of interest. And yet you expect me to sulk over the things that you do not wish to give, Eska says. No, I only... You keep my bed very warm, Eska says. I wish for nothing else, unless you desire it. It's my bed, Marcus says, but he lets Eska draw him down and cover him, tuck his knees in behind Marcus's thighs and snug up against his back. Very much later, when the fire is burning low, he says, until. Hmm? Eska says, rousing a little from his doze. Marcus is holding one of Eska's hands twined in his. Until I desire it, he says after a moment. Until, Eska agrees, tightening his fingers against Marcus's. He was an impatient boy, quick to boredom and anger, but he's a man now. Patience is a lesson he's learned well. The end. Reader's notes. I would like to thank Helen Ish for giving permission to record this. If you enjoyed this podfic, don't forget to head on over to archiveofourown.org and leave feedback for the writer, Helen Ish. You can find the story at archiveofourown.org/work/460564. I'm also on the archive as greedy_dancer, or on LiveJournal or DreamWidth. Thank you for listening.